Welcome to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. Glad to have you with us. This Tuesday, it's city staff, and we'll get into that in just a moment. But after the top of the hour news, we'll accept your phone calls. If you want to jot the number down, it's 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live. In the meantime, let's start things off today with a welcome to our guests. First of all, welcome to City Manager Aaron Kubik. Aaron, welcome to the microphone.
Good morning.
Glad to have you with us here.
It's always a pleasure.
All right. I have a question left over that I promised I would ask you today.
A leftover question? Okay. All right.
Blame Councillor De La Grange.
Oh, okay. All right.
They were in here last Tuesday, and in talking about funding for law enforcement and some of the things the city is facing right now, he made the statement that the city council does have the authority to pass a sales tax without a vote of the government. And he didn't know many details on that. Said our city attorney, Mr. Agu, told him that that was possible. I'm asking you if you are familiar with any of the details surrounding that that assertion. Can they do that?
Okay. So,
and
yes.
I know I'm putting you on the spot here.
Yeah. No,
but
that's
I promised.
Fine. That's fine. Let's see how I do. So, the city of Grants passes a home rule city.
Yes.
And home rule was an issue that came up back in the late 1800s, early 1900s in the state of Oregon and throughout the nation, actually, to where there was a debate nationally about what kind of rules cities can have in regulations and what kind of independence it can have from the states that they're in. So the city of Grants Pass is an independent municipality, and it is considered a home rule city. It has its own charter, and charters have been developed throughout the state of Oregon and throughout the nation. Charters define, and it's really your constitution for your city. And our constitution does provide the authority for the city to impose its own laws and or taxes also associated with the operations of the organization and the services that are provided. So yes, the city can implement, say, a utility fee, or they can implement a sales tax, and it does not have to go to a vote of the public, but it is just needs to go to a vote of the council members seated.
All right, so that is possible, although I would suspect highly unlikely considering how the last sales tax vote went down over 80% against. But,
it's tough. The sales tax did go down. We've tried a number of things when it comes to public safety funding. We did our own independent sales tax. We partnered with the county for their sales tax. We did a fire district, and all of those things did fail. The council is interested and is wanting to explore a little bit the concept of a sales tax and what that, the benefits of it, and how that may be implemented, associated with also a utility fee that we're talking about.
All right, the utility fee has been in the news pretty significantly, but this was the first hint we've heard of a imposed sales tax.
Councils asked staff to come up with potentially a survey that we would put out to the community that would ask them some questions about how would you like to fund, what is the most appropriate funding mechanism. If it is required that we need $7 million, it's a given that we need $7 million. How would you like that to be acquired? Through a property tax, through a sales tax, through a utility fee. Each one of those touches the constituents differently and the businesses within the community. So there is no perfect funding mechanism for trying to fund our public safety services.
Nobody likes any of it.
No, but
that's true.
And so really when it comes down to it, I think diversity might be a positive thing, because if you have multiple funding streams, you are impacting a broader range of clientele that are utilizing the services. And so that may be something where we talk about at a council level.
Now, you did mention property tax in that scenario you just outlined.
Yes.
But I was under the impression they can't enlarge or increase the property tax here by state law.
A levy is a property tax.
Okay. All right. There you have it. All right. Now that's cleared up. We'll be watching. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. So on sure. the flip side, I think the county goes to a vote if they were doing something along those lines, because they have a charter, I think, that states that a vote is required to implement a tax.
Okay.
Where our charter provides the authority for the council to do so.
All right. Interesting. We keep learning and learning and learning, and we thank you for that.
No problem.
Anything else on your agenda before we get to the topic of the day?
Well, I've got some. I'll be the filler guy, and I really because of the time of year, and I think it's really important. I'd like to focus on fire and fire prevention, and with that, we've brought our FireWise coordinator today, and he could introduce himself, and that would be the primary topic today that I'd like to discuss.
All right. Well, it's certainly top of the mind awareness for a lot of people here. Tyson Schultz, did I get that correct?
Yes.
Tyson, step up at the microphone there. Welcome to the microphones of KAJO Radio, and I understand this is your first time here. You're a fairly new coordinator for the FireWise program. Can you define the FireWise program for our people? What is it? What's it consist of? What's its goal?
Well, the basis of FireWise is with education, consultation, and support of communities wishing to enhance wildfire preparedness of their community as a whole or their individual home site. We can offer assistance for starting new FireWise communities or offer just one-on-one consultation for a single home. And FireWise goes beyond the vegetation aspect. We can offer advice with home construction techniques, which is now called home hardening. That's kind of the new buzz term that a lot of people will be hearing moving forward. We can provide education on establishing personal evacuation plans, information for receiving evacuation notifications, through various formats, your phone, internet, etc. And we can also provide education on what roles various local agencies have during emergencies, should one occur. Kind of what agencies can offer, what assistance, depending on what your personal needs are. We've also begun recently heading down the path of working on a community wildfire plan. And a wildfire plan is a document that identifies issues and resources, which will be a guide for prioritizing what strategic work needs to be done in the future to mitigate the highest wildfire hazards within a local community, such as Grants Pass or the community as a whole. And that document can provide pre-planning for, again, evacuation shelters, what logistical needs need to be met for the various agencies that are providing support for the community during an emergency.
It's a lot broader than a lot of people may have figured on the FireWise program. What kind of expertise do you bring to it? You're fairly new to the job, about the last 3 months, is that right?
Yes, I started May 15th was my first day on the job. I am coming in after Rick McClintock, who worked in the position for several years. I worked directly for Grants Pass City Fire and Rescue. We also have another FireWise coordinator. McLaughlin, who works for the county. And my background is with wildland fire suppression. I worked for the Oregon Department of Forestry for 34 fire seasons, and 15 of those years I worked with an incident management team managing incidents all over the state of Oregon, large wildfire events. I retired back in September and decided I still wanted to provide to the community and offer my expertise in another arena. And so I applied for the job and thankfully was accepted and very happy to be here.
Well, we're glad that you're here too. And thank you for bringing that expertise to our city. Now, as a city resident, I feel fairly safe inside the city limits. But I know that there's some areas that are, termed wild land interface right next to the fire. What do you do for those people? And what should I be concerned at as a city resident? How can I take advantage of your office?
Well, there are areas within the city and adjacent to the city that have been identified as being high risk for wildfire danger. One example is basically directly across the street from the station here. There's Hilltop Drive area, and extending south along 238 towards the Cathedral Hills hiking trails, that, which are on BLM ground. That particular area is within the city, wholly within the city, and outside of the response area for the Oregon Department of Forestry. And it has a lot of vegetation, a lot of steep, hilly terrain, a lot of urban interface. There's you know, high likelihood if a fire were to roll through that area that homes could be impacted. And the issue with the ODF not having suppression responsibility there is that the suppression would fall, you know, solely on the local fire districts, who don't necessarily have the resources available, such as you know, aviation, you know, air tankers, helicopters, you know, at a moment's notice. And those areas are you know, very susceptible to wildfire. And so one of the focuses on FireWise is to educate the people on what they can do to mitigate those hazards that are in there. Because with FireWise, it talks about the embers are what generally impact a home, not necessarily the advancing, you know, flame front of fire coming into a community. And so even though it's a smaller area, smaller footprint than what you would generally find out in the community, say down in Illinois Valley or out in Merlin, where you have big, vast areas of forested vegetation where a fire can roll through there, even a small fire, a couple of trees burning, can put off a lot of embers, which can impact a community. It's kind of a shotgun blast of sparks that will go out and can get into the gutters that haven't been cleaned out, get onto the roofs that have leaves on them. And you get a lot of structures burning simultaneously, but there's a very small amount of resources available from the Grants Pass City Fire Department or Rural Metro, who have to come in and deal with that themselves.
We have agreements, cooperative agreements between all the major agencies. Do ODF, is ODF part of that, Oregon Department of Forestry? They have the aerial resources. Should something break out right across the street, as you pointed out, on that mountain over there, fire, would we have access to those helicopters?
There are agreements in place, and there would be access, we saw in the fires in 2020 in Talent. There were air tankers and helicopters working within areas that the ODF doesn't have responsibility for primary suppression duties. But the issue comes with a delay in getting those resources, or perhaps ODF themselves has a fire going in another part of the county. Say there's a fire going down in the Cave Junction area and the air resources are tied up there. That's going to become a priority down there, and there's going to be a delay getting those resources to show up to the fire within the city. So it's not that the resources won't come. It just might be longer than normal, and then that gives the fire more opportunity to grow in size and impact more homes as it rolls through.
Yeah, your example here is a perfect one. It certainly got my attention because it's right across the street. And I know personally there are several homes around and in that area. Do they have to reach out to you, or are you proactive and advising those people early that we have this available for you?
We certainly encourage everyone to reach out and get a hold of us. We can do, you know, individual home assessments, or if an area that has a footprint large enough for, you know, building a FireWise community, you need at least 8 homes, and you can go up to 2,500 homes for a FireWise community. And we don't have any communities right here in this particular area that we're talking about, but we're certainly interested in starting some communities. So if you know, members of the public want to reach out and set up appointments, there's two of us, myself and Mike from the county, can come out and offer that assistance.
What is a FireWise community? And you need 8 homes, I assume, in the same area to make that community. What does that do for a member of that community?
So FireWise is a nationally recognized program where a community can choose to, you know, participate. It's all voluntary. There's no requirements. It's not a an enforcement type of situation. It's purely voluntary, and it's community action based. And so a lot of times when we talk to people doing an individual home assessment, they may be interested in making their own home site, you know, more fire safe, but then they look across the property line at their neighbor's property that's overgrown, has brush and trees, and they're concerned about that. If that were to catch on fire, you get the ember cast that comes over, you know, onto their property. And a lot of times it's difficult, or people are uncomfortable approaching their neighbor to ask them, hey, you know, can we get this cleaned up maybe? Well, when you have a community, you are bringing all of those people in that community together. We'll give presentations on the benefits and the reasons why this work should be done. And if you get the buy-in and everybody wants to do this, then you've removed those barriers of the awkwardness of talking to your neighbor about cleaning up their trees on their land. And so what you get is the community as a whole working together, and you may end up getting the whole community coming over to your place to help clean your brush, and then you go to the neighbor's place and clean the brush. And so it just encourages this group effort and everybody coming together in agreement to reach this one common goal. And in association with that, you get the national recognition. There's a sign that goes up in the neighborhood, and then there's annual work that needs to be done in order to maintain good standing. But it's only 1 hour of commitment per home site per year. So maybe you clean the gutters in the spring, or there's a green day where you clean up vegetation and haul it off. But once you've maintained or got yourself into a good standing, it's very easy to maintain that. And then, of course, the FireWise coordinators can continually come in and offer assistance and ideas of what further can be done.
So you provide the guidelines and show what needs to be done and how to go about it. So primarily it's up to the homeowner after that. And it doesn't sound like a lot of work other than just maintaining your area anyway. But suppose there's a homeowner, and I'm drawing out of the clouds here, suppose there's a homeowner's situation where there is a homeowner's group and there's a wetland in between that's drying up and the marsh is there. Is there any available help for a community like that?
There are various agencies that offer assistance. The Oregon Department of Forestry is generally the first choice of agency to go to ask for some grant fundings that may be available. There is a small forest land grant program with ODF, and that is tailored to people who own smaller parcels of land. And if they apply for it and get approved, ODF may give out a certain amount of money that the landowner can either do the work themselves or they can hire a contractor. And it may be a scheme where, you know, perhaps ODF gives out $2,500 and then the landowner has to match with $2,500, or if they can get the work done for, somewhere near the amount that they're receiving, then they can, you know, just have the grant pay for the whole thing. But we suggest, you know, reaching out to the local ODF office here in Merlin and asking for a grant specialist and seeing what they have to offer.
But the first call is to your office.
First call can be to us, and then we can kind of listen to what their needs are and hopefully guide them in the right direction.
Send them in the right direction. We're going to continue this, and every time we have FireWise in here, I learn more and more. We hope that you do, too. Stay tuned. We got more to come right after this word. Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in Progress, ladies and gentlemen. Our guest today, City Manager Aaron Kubik and FireWise Coordinator Tyler Schultz. We were talking FireWise today and some of the things. And I'm not sure if this falls within your bailiwick or not, but you certainly got my attention when you pointed out the wildland interface just across the road here on in South Grants Pass about the possibility of a fire breaking out there. And you said embers, and embers are carried by the wind. So are you interested in, or is this outside of the planning situation in prevailing winds and which way they're generally blowing, or does the fire make its own wind? Educate me here.
Yeah, so, you know, we do have prevailing winds in the area. Generally in the Grants Pass area, winds come out of the northwest, and you'll see a lot of fire footprints. If you look at maps, they kind of got pushed in specific directions. And then, of course, you've got terrain, which will drive fires, a little bit in a different direction. But when you're talking about a community and fires impacting a community, The winds will be swirling because of the structures. You have, you know, structures with square corners. And one example that we like to give, if you walk around your home when we're doing a home assessment, is we will look where the leaves have piled up in the corners. And we explain to people that if the leaves piled up in those corners because of the winds, when the embers come, they're going to follow the exact same path. So you may have winds coming out of the north, but on the south side of your home, leaves have wrapped around the corners of your building, piled up in a little nook or flower bed or flower pot or something to that effect. Same situation will happen. The embers are going to wrap around and actually light that particular material on fire. And if that material is up against your home, it'll start burning, and then you'll have direct flame impingement against the siding of the house. And, you know, with enough time and enough material, it will ignite the home. And if resources are stretched thin, there's only so many fire trucks available. If they're canvassing the neighborhood, they may drive past your home and look and not really see any smoke, move on to the next home that maybe does have a problem, and then before you know it, you know, behind them, your house is now on fire. And that could be mitigated very easily by just simply cleaning out those leaves.
All right. So once again, clean. Keep all the flammables away from the home is what I'm hearing. And you give them ideas on how to handle that.
Yeah, FireWise focuses on three home ignition zones. There's a 0 to 5 foot zone, 5 to 30, and the 30 to 100. And the 0 to 5 is where you make the biggest impact. That's the material that's right up against the home, where you would get material that's very easily ignited by those embers. It could be a cardboard box with a bunch of scraps of wood in it. It could be piles of leaves. Bark mulch is a big thing that we talk about. Bark mulch is a, you know, generally a wide, large surface area of a very receptive bed of fuel, and sparks have a high likelihood on a hot, dry day to get that bark mulch going. And if it's right up against the home, again, you'll get flames that'll go up underneath your siding and get stuff burning. But FireWise is really about cleaning. A lot of people think that, oh, they're going to want us to cut down all of our trees and do all this work, and it's like that's not necessarily the case. You do need to have your trees thinned, pruned.
Tyler, I'm going to continue this, but right now my clock is against me right now. We're running right up against the news, but we want all of you to stay tuned. We'll have more right after this very important message coming up right now. Welcome back to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us today. If you have a question or comment for a guest, we're talking FireWise and some of the dangers that we might face and that you can avoid just with a little effort around your home. That's the topic today with FireWise. If you have a question or comment, you can ask that live on the radio just by giving us a call at 541-472-1270. When you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live. In the meantime, once again, welcome to our guest, City Manager Aaron Kubik, and our FireWise Coordinator, Tyler Schultz. Tyler, once again, thank you for the effort here. We've been talking about a wildland interface, and you pointed out that right across the road from us is that mountain that has a lot of vegetation and the dangers there. You've identified lots of areas around Grants Pass where that wildland interface exists. Are the people who live there or near there aware of that situation? Have you reached out to them?
Yeah, since I started in this position, you know, the first order of business was for me to learn my role and learn what previous work had been done. There are several FireWise communities within Grants Pass and within the county as a whole. We started reaching out to the FireWise community leads and board members and having conversations with them to see if they had any you know, pending needs, since there wasn't a coordinator in the role for several months. Started working with them, and then as word kind of started to spread that there were two new coordinators available, we've started to receive more phone calls. And we reach out to the public through a booth that we'll periodically put on at the Growers Market on Saturday. We were just there a couple weekends ago. And people will sign up for home assessments, and then we'll have the discussion about starting FireWise communities, you know, the assistance that we offer. And we've been fairly successful with that. And I think just as we continue to reach out and continue to publicize, and then hopefully with this radio show today, we'll get a lot more calls, you know, out of this. And we just want to continue to grow the program and continue to spread the word and continue to do good work.
All right. With that, with this Firewise team, you said there are lots of Firewise communities. Is there one out there that you could point to with pride and say, here's what's going on in this particular neighborhood without impinging on their freedoms or privacy?
I would say all the communities, you know, they've all done good work. There's a community just west of Grants Pass, Forest Hills. They were the first community that we visited with. They had a board meeting that I attended, so I could get to learn who the community members are and who the driving people were about starting that and maintaining the community. And they've done very good work. They did an internal fundraising campaign within their own community, raised several thousand dollars, and they were able to use that to hire a contractor to do some fuel mitigation. It was some pretty tough work that was beyond, you know, the capability of the average homeowner. It required some industrial equipment, wood chippers, and large trucks to haul the material away. So through that fundraiser, they raised the amount of capital they needed and got the work done. And now it's more of a maintenance mode to keep that vegetation in check year after year as the fine fuels start to grow up. So it was good meeting with that group and seeing all the good work they had done.
Yeah, you did mention in the previous segment of our program that there are some grants available, some matching grants to help mitigate situations like you just described. That being said, what funds this Firewise community? How are you funded here? Are you adequately funded? Because a boss sitting right next to you there.
Yeah, so Firewise itself is, as I said, it's a program that offers advice and consultation. So the funding for my position actually comes from the Josephine County Emergency Operations Center. And, you know, fundings have a lifespan, and I'm fully funded for the next 2 years, and then there are other opportunities available for the city itself or the county to, you know, further extend that, you know, down the road. And I know that there's some work being done in that avenue as we speak. There's a federal grant that has just opened up that has some, funding for positions like what I'm working in. But as far as providing funding for the Firewise communities themselves to do the work, Firewise doesn't provide that. We can just provide the advice on possibilities of where they can get funding to do the work, or, you know, give them advice on how they can do the work themselves. In an efficient and safe manner.
Now, you're the city's Firewise coordinator. You've mentioned county a couple of times, and the county also has people do the same thing that you do. Is that correct?
Yes.
And is there coordination between the two?
Yes. Mike McLaughlin is the Josephine County Firewise coordinator. Since the funding actually comes from the county for my position, I am not trapped just within the city. Both Mike and I cover the entire county as a whole. We coordinate together on a daily basis. We wanted to be able to have the same terminology and be saying the exact same thing to people. So our very first couple of months on the job, we've been doing home assessments together just to make sure that when we talk about the size of screening that needs to go on your vents in your home and the home ignition zone 0 to 5, the advice that we're giving about what needs to be done is uniform. And we always tell people that they can call either one of us, and when Mike makes an accomplishment on Firewise community, he briefs me on it, so that way if I get a call on it, then I can just step in and pick up where he left off if he's, you know, out sick or something for the day.
All right, you mentioned a call. What's the number?
So the number for calling myself is 541-450-6212.
All right, 450-6212. All right, we'll get that up several more times before we get away. It's radio. That takes about three times at least to get that phone number home. So we'll hit that again. What about internet access? Do you have email? And is there a website or something that outlines the Firewise program?
Yeah, if people want to go to the Grants Pass City website and then go to the section for the Grants Pass Fire and Rescue, my position is under the prevention program, and there's links on there, and there's actually quite a plethora of information there, several pages deep. There is a YouTube video embedded in the site that will talk about the Firewise program. There's links on there for my email address, my phone number, et cetera, and the links on there for the National Firewise program. And if, you know, for anyone that wants to peruse that, they can find some good information. Firewise is a program that was established by the National Fire Protection Association, NFPA. And if they want to visit the NFPA Firewise site, then that is the overall source of the information, and it's going to have the latest and most comprehensive amount of material available.
All right. We've been in, certainly, fire fire awareness area this summer. Major fire, the Flat Fire, broke out in the Agnes area. That really hasn't impacted us very much. Did it get your attention?
Oh, it certainly gets my attention, and I've been tracking wildfire for three decades here in this local area. And so I started to pay attention to its daily movements and what direction it was going, and how historical fire footprints were impacting its ability to grow and whatnot. I was here in 2002 when the Biscuit Fire, came east and was impacting the Illinois Valley. So
got our attention.
it did, certainly. And so, I haven't forgotten that. Haven't forgotten what impact there can be. And through my experience, I know that people get very concerned and whatnot. So I try to stay abreast of what's going on, because people will certainly ask the questions like, what do you know about this? And so I can point them to, websites that have information and just kind of tell them, what I know. But, fortunately, that fire kind of made its initial run, and there's a lot of good work being done, out there. And, of course, conditions can always change at a moment's notice. But last couple of weeks, it's been fairly quiet and not a lot of impact.
Oh, we're knocking on wood. Thank goodness for that. Now, you mentioned earlier that in your past experience, you were part of an incident management team. Did I understand that correctly?
Yes.
All right. And we keep hearing about the incident management teams that are handling the flat fire out there. What goes on with this team? What are they looking at? How big is this team? How does that come together?
So the incident management team system was created and is available for a fire that happens at a local level, anywhere in the state or within the country. You have initial attack resources, Oregon Department of Forestry here locally. We've got Forest Service, a couple of BLM resources. And they'll start to attack a fire. And if that fire continues to grow throughout the first burn period, the first day, first night, continues to grow beyond the capacity or capability of the local resources. Because one of the things that you need to do, even though you have a fire going, is you need to be able to continue to attack and suppress new starts. And so if the local resources get stretched too thin and the rest of the county or the area, doesn't have enough for the next start or the next two or three starts, especially if there's a lightning storm, what they'll do is make a decision to call an incident management team. The incident management team gets notified. They have a travel day, and when they arrive on scene, they do an in-briefing with the local managers, and there's a delegation of authority that gets signed, and the team will actually take over a geographic region of the county where the fire is occurring and basically take over fire suppressions. Fire teams, you've got type 1 team is the largest team. You've got type 2, type 3 teams, and a type 1 team is fully self-sufficient. They're the ones that show up with a full, complement of fire line managers, incident commander, ops chiefs, division soups, and all of the intermediate management personnel. The firefighting resources are quite often contract private private industry, bulldozers, fire trucks, and whatnot, as well as agency, you know, resources that get assigned. But they bring the showers and the kitchens, and they will set up a fire camp with all the tents. And depending on the size of the fire, you could get, you know, have, you know, 1,000 to 3,000 people in there.
Right. I know that's a little outside the bailiwick of FireWise, however, it does go to your expertise here and a confidence builder for the people out there to know that they've got an expert sitting here as our FireWise coordinator. Wave your magic wand. What would you like to see happen in Grants Pass in terms of the FireWise community? What do you need to see happen to keep this community safe?
Well,
wave your magic wand.
I guess if we could have anything we wanted, what I would like to see is a lot more FireWise communities, a lot more participation. We would like to be able to raise more awareness of the FireWise principles. You know, like we've said earlier, FireWise isn't what people traditionally think needs to be done. We're not asking for a clear cut on the property where you cut down all the trees and make it look like a moonscape. I think a lot of people are hesitant to participate because that's what they think. And, you know, when we show up, quite often they're surprised. We're just talking about doing some very basic cleaning, maintaining your gutters, maintaining the paint on the side of your house. If you have peeling paint, you have an opportunity for an ember to land within that cracked area of the paint, where the ember is going to be up against the wood now rather than the paint itself. And so just spreading awareness and getting more people willing to call us and willing to have us come out and educate them would be the first step. And of course, you know, it would always be good to have more firefighting resources in the area, which has happened over the last few years with Senate Bill 762 was a good stroke of business for the wildland fire community. It added capacity, and it continues to add capacity. And with that, I guess the last thing I would like to see is more funding, more grant opportunities for not only fuel reduction right around the home, the 100-foot zone around the home itself, but I'd like to see some landscape grant opportunities for clearing large swaths of land around the community itself, so it would slow down a fire if it were to advance towards the community.
Yeah. Hey, thank you. Listen, we're not going away here yet, but we are getting into the latter stages of the program, which means I've got to pay some bills. We'll be right back. Welcome back, Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. We have, let me do the high math here. I've got about 8 minutes left of the program today, so there's still time to get your call in if you have a question or comment about the FireWise community, or if you want to throw a question to the city manager, Aaron Kubik, 541-472-1270. Now, we've talked about funding right now, but I also understand that the state is going to step up here a little bit with some fuel reduction funds. A grant is coming through or has come through for the city?
I guess that is correct. Through Senate Bill 762, the Oregon State Fire Marshal's Office was directed to make funding available for at-risk communities concerning wildland fire mitigation. And statewide, a total of 106 entities were recently awarded funding for various projects. The City of Grants Pass was awarded $300,000 specifically for fuel reduction in three strategic areas identified as being high-risk category for wildfire. The three locations that were identified, one is the Hilltop Drive area that we have been talking about.
That's one right across the street.
Yep, right across the street. So the Hilltop, the Knob area, and then extending south down 238 for a ways. The other area is the northwest portion of the city, kind of near the Dollar Mountain area in Merlin Hill, where the freeway crosses over. And then the third area is the northeast part of the community, kind of where Vertical Drive is located, up in those steep hills and kind of canyon and area at the base of the Granite Hill Mountain Range.
So when will we see progress there?
Right now, we are currently working on the process of developing a request for proposal. We're still defining the exact boundaries of the individual contract areas that we'll be requesting bids on to have work done. Hopefully, work will begin early this fall. We kind of want to wait till after fire season is over and the conditions allow for power equipment to be used safely for starting the actual contract work. So hopefully we'll be soliciting for bids in the next 6 to 8 weeks.
If I live in those areas, should I be concerned or should I just call your office?
What we plan on doing is once we get the footprint of the areas that we want to work in defined, we're going to do a mass mailing to all of the homeowners that live in that area. And then we'll hold some community meetings to bring people down that are interested in participating, do like a presentation, kind of talk about the history of the grant, what the benefits are, and why we should be doing this and what's good about it. So that process should be starting in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, okay. Great. Great news. Now, once again, if I live in those areas and I have a question, your phone number again was
450-6212.
6212, ladies and gentlemen, for the FireWise coordinator. We've talked about both the Josephine County and the city working together to clear all this up. And I might have to call in Aaron Kubik here, Dollar Mount area. The boundaries there, part of that city, part of that's county, and I know there's a lot of work going up there with fuel reduction already. So what is the status of Dollar Mountain here in terms of FireWise coordinating and protecting the community?
Well, I'll speak from the project itself. We've made some great strides in last year and the year before, working with a contractor to take care of some of that mitigation and mitigate that area. And we had some controlled burns last fall that were very successful. We've gotten a grant to develop the trails out there, so we'll have additional positive activity and some additional work out there, clearing out some of the brush and areas that are identified for trail use. And then, of course, there's those neighborhoods that are on Skyline and stuff that may benefit from a program like FireWise.
Right, they butt almost up to Dollar Mountain here.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, all right. And the city and the county working together on that?
Yes, we are.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Just wanted to move that out there. All right, Tyler, we're down to about our last couple of minutes here. So wave your magic wand here. If there's something that people need to know about your program or about your expertise or something they can take advantage of, what would that be? What do I need to take away from this program today?
Again, it just comes down to participation and garnering interest of the community. You know, a lot of people have become, educated and aware of wildfire happening within our community. It happens every single year, always has, and probably always will. But I think there's a lot of question on, and what can I do to help myself? And that's what we're here for. Just give us a call. We'll set up an appointment. We're more than happy to come out and talk to you one-on-one, or if you have an interest in a community effort, we'll set up a meeting at either the office out at the Emergency Operations Center in Merlin, or we have a training room at the Grants Pass City Fire Department. We can bring in groups of people, do presentations, and just let them know what opportunities are out there. Grants are ever-changing, and we can give them the latest information that we're aware of.
All right. Well, thank you very much. We do appreciate it. Let me see. How many times have we gotten that phone number out now? Twice, I think. We need one more.
Okay. 541-450-6212.
All right. Tyler Schultz, our FireWise coordinator. Call him if you have any questions at all to protect you, your family, and your home, and probably your neighbors, too, here in Grants Pass. Aaron Kubik, final thought today. What's going on with the city? What do people need to know?
Well, the best thing people need to know is we work our best when we hear from you. So please, if you have a concern, you have a question on why we're doing what we're doing, or you have a question on some services that we're doing well and you want more of, or services that you'd like to see us begin, please reach out and talk to us. Our number is 450-6000, or you can go to our website at grantspassoregon.gov.
Understanding. Also go to the fair.
Yes, we're setting up for the fair this afternoon. We've got a great booth, GP Jeopardy. Come by, learn something about the city, and win a prize.
Okay, thank you very much. You've been listening to the Tuesday Talk Show.